All right, so we'd like to go to questions now.
Okay, no questions have come up over the chat room.
All right.
So I'm going to go back to...
The list of questions.
That is correct.
All right. And yes, all of you remember, send in your questions, right?
And so under relationship, it says, my first relationship is to myself, right? So how does one fall in love with myself?
Well, that's a good one. We did do a whole seminar, it's on CD, on how to love yourself, right? And we've done that also in Love and Healing Evenings. But yes, you see, just like you want to care for another person and be cared for, you want to respect them and be respected, you know, you want to appreciate and be appreciated, you want to be intimate and with them and have them intimate with you, yes, that's what you do for yourself. You value yourself, you love yourself, you appreciate yourself, you care about yourself, you take good care of yourself, you respect your feelings, your thoughts, your knowings, your interests, your passions. You don't deny yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you indulge yourself, but you don't deny your own soul urges. You need to tell what those are. You give yourself solitude, and you are happy with your own companionship. And that's what really constitutes the foundation of loving oneself. All right.
Hello? Hello?
I believe we have a call of some sort.
Somebody's trying to ring in, but that's not the regular protocol. Oh. Okay, so interesting. We actually have something.
All right, we have a caller.
I need to get their phone number at this point, which we now have. So here we go.
So we hope that kind of covered the basics of loving yourself, but we go into way more detail because you need to look at yourself through the eyes of love as well. So it really requires expanding your consciousness in the process.
Daniel?
Yes?
Can you hear me?
All right.
I hear somebody.
Okay, this is Martina, Daniel.
Oh, hello, Martina.
Hi, Daniel. You do not have a chat room.
What do you mean I don't have a chat room?
There is no way for us to ask any questions. There is nothing online we can see to ask questions.
That's funny because Peter wrote me in and Virginia is in, and so...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. All right, so some people are missing their chat room.
Oh, so we apologize about that, but do you have a question?
Do I have a question? Sure, I have a question.
All right, let's put her on then.
Okay, so you go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine.
Okay, wonderful. So this is Martina. Hi, Alexis.
Hello, can you talk just a little louder?
Yes, I can try. How is this? Let me see. Up the volume. Is this better?
That's good. Yes, thank you.
Okay. So I recently went to Germany, and I kind of fell in love all over again with a former love of mine. And it seems to be definitely passionate, like you're saying. And... I am wondering, is this a possibility, or am I creating just my adolescent fantasy? Should I restart and put out the call?
Well, there is definitely going to be some of your adolescent in there because it is an old lover from the past. So So your adolescent self says, oh, goody, we get to pick up where we left off. And this time, you know, we're feeling more powerful. We're, you know, this is all fresh and new again and how great this is. So we would recommend for you to do a little process where you get your, where you give this guy to your adolescent self in a meditation and let her just, you know, let them two of them shack up together and go at it like bunnies or just do whatever and fulfill all those adolescent fantasies, all right? And after about a couple of days of that, okay, then start to reassess, okay, I got the adolescent part of me out. Make sure that she's out there and having a lot of fun and not thinking about you. And if you had a later self that regretted that that relationship was over and was kind of sorrowful about it, then you may want to go and bring that self up. That might be somebody in the, say, mid-20s or something. And bring that self up and in a dialogue together with that self, I find out if that self is having some kind of longing as well and give that self the more perfect form of this fellow and let her have her couple of days shacking up with him. Then feel if there's any other parts of yourself that feel that somehow or another you made a mistake letting him go back then. Because if you felt that, this is your opportunity on a metaphysical level to check it out again. And so if you can really feel that and you feel genuinely good about this person, genuinely connected with this person, and from an adult point of view, see this person as having matured, as you have, having his life together in interesting ways, as you have, having his interests and developing his interests on and being the person that he is becoming, can you imagine him being able to be vulnerable, to be able to be respectful, to care, to value, etc.? So what you want to check whether it's something that it would work only if the two of you were apart physically and just came back together for a short while here and there, or if it was something that if the two of you were together over a long period of time, that he could remain real.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Yeah. So the way you find out about that, of course, is keeping up communication with him. Now, long distance, it's fine if a person, has things they want to share and so on. They're not around to get the impact of that from the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem with a long-distance relationship. It's safe, however, for both people because it doesn't take you into really, really scary territory. So what we would suggest for you is that at some point to plan another trip or to have him come over here,
mm-hmm.
okay, and see how that works,
mm-hmm.
and see if, and make sure that it's more than 3 or 4 days,
mm-hmm.
that you're together more than 3 or 4 days, all day,
mm-hmm.
okay, because if you're together for more than 3 or 4 days, and you're really making a definite effort just to be free, to be yourself, to whatever, you might notice him starting to be on, him being on good behavior and at some point to get really annoyed at something, right? That would be your message that he's trying to keep a mask on, which of course is not going to work. And nobody can keep a mask on for very long. But you have to be together at least like maybe 4 days or more before the masks start to come off. And that's yours too if you're putting one on. You start to find out if you could stay together all day, every day for a week, you would know.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, because you'd know whether he's getting stressed out or you getting stressed out and oh my gosh, I don't have any time to myself. I don't have my personal space. And you ask for your personal space. And then he goes, huh, well, what am I going to do? And, you know, whatever. You know, it's, you can play with that and see how that works. Can you entertain yourselves? Can you also, how do you rest from each other? Is it to require a lot of stress? Does it require a lot of interaction? Is there a lot to discover with the person of who they are now and where they see themselves going? Because since you have a past, you can go back and you can remember all sorts of stuff in the past and get all great and cool and feel really cozy and in rapport and so on. But what's going to really matter in the relationship is where you are now and where you both see yourself as going. So you want to talk a lot about future and just not in the sense of our future, no. No, just, you know, what's your life dream? Where are you going? What do you want to do? How do you want to live? What kind of lifestyle are you in? And if it's not exactly what you want, what is it you want? You see what we're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Because then you can start to gauge. Mm-hmm. But you can only do it in person, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, unless you want to have a long-distance relationship, that's really convenient for a lot of people. Like we said, a lot of people aren't really made for these intense one-on-one, live together all the time, be together, Bobsy twin type of relationships.
Yeah, but a little closer than Germany, I'd like it.
Well, right now you have an either-or situation.
Uh-huh.
But why? Is he thinking about moving? Are you thinking about moving?
No, I could imagine that he comes here twice a year for 3 months, and I go there twice a year for, say, a month.
All right. Okay. You'll definitely find out.
Okay. Very
you know,
good.
If you do that, if you play that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, long-distance relationships are not unsatisfying. A lot of people have found, you know, when they're doing meeting people online, and they just fall in love online, and it's just fantastic. But when they meet, there's kind of a shock between who they thought they were talking to, because there's a lot of fantasy can go on when you're texting or writing emails, or even when you're on Skype, then when you're actually in person and you're feeling the impact of that person's vibration. So it's it takes quite a bit of in-person FaceTime to really gauge whether you can handle that person or not. Now, if you're the type of person who really doesn't want somebody that often in your life, a long-distance relationship might work just fine. So everyone has their uniqueness. What is yours? What is your preference? You see? All right. We have another question.
Yeah. Are you in? Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
Hi, it's Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Hi. My question is, I'm very much in alignment with everything you're saying, and I feel like for months now I've been calling in a great love, and I can feel the process happening because the people that I'm connecting with are more and more in alignment with who I am. And, you know, if I could cut and paste and sort of make a Frankenstein lover, I'd probably have it down, but I'm not quite there. But one thing that has come up, which I'd be interested to get your thoughts on, it is the challenge of monogamy versus polyamory.
All right.
And can you talk about that aspect of a loving relationship? I know I am calling in someone who's open to being poly, mm-hmm. but I'm just curious as to what you see as the assets and the problems that could come from that.
All right. Well, of course, the assets of polyamory is that both partners can experience sensual pleasures with other people. They can form intimacies with other people. The disadvantage of it, though, is that in relationships, when you become intimate, it's very difficult to be intimate with more than maybe two or three people. And also, if you're intimate with someone, it seems that when you're in a really intimate situation or relationship, you tend to be intimate with one person at a time. You can't have, you know, a second or third person in the room. You only can really create that intimacy with one other person at a time. So essentially, that would be limiting if they wanted to have like group kind of things. That would be that would be inadvisable. But if there is that situation that I want to be able to have sex and relationships outside of this relationship, you've got to understand that when you call a great love, that great love is going to be your primary love.
Yes.
It's going to be primary. And if you if you then go, both of you go around and you have others, but you both need to make an agreement if it's going to really work for you, that you're the primary ones.
Absolutely. Right?
Right. Both of you have to be very comfortable with that and not to feel at all threatened with anyone else, you know, with your partner doing. And the way you negotiate that is by looking at both of your lifestyles, your schedules, and perhaps in a way to kind of give each other, so blocking out a certain sections of time for you to do that, so that each person feels like they have a good share of time with the primary one. Just that has to be negotiated in person very carefully, actually, piece by piece, because it's very hard sometimes when someone is loving someone else not to take it personally. You know, that somehow you want to come and tell them something wonderful that happened in your day and they're off like with somebody else. And you have to wait for them to come back, and then they don't come back for a while, and so there has to be a certain understanding of how to deal with these types of situations.
Right. In the community that I'm in, which is a gay community,
yes,
very few long-term relationships are monogamous.
They're, yes.
You know, I can't even recall anyone that really has been monogamous. They're all open relationships. It may not be that someone is out there with another lover or has made another committed relationship, but it seems to be that the ones that seem to last the longest and seem to be solid are open relationships. What do you think about that?
Well, we would say that's not always necessarily true. It might be very common and particular in your gay community, but there are other gay communities in which there are monogamous long-term. So it just depends on what part of the country, what kind of the cultural environment is, you see. And your cultural environment where you are is much more liberal, much more expressive, to put it mildly.
Yes, exactly.
There are more outrageous ones in your community. And but nevertheless, those long-term ones that are quote-unquote open, if you notice, they're primary, though, with each other for a long time.
Yes, yes.
And so if you are curious about that, what would be absolutely wonderful would be to get a couple of these couples and have them kind of give a little seminar on it to share their secrets, you know, of how to have this open relationship. Not that they necessarily even follow through on it, but just what they're trying to do is say, I want you to have the freedom to be yourself.
Right.
It's a great gift of love to another person. So that is one way to express that.
Right. I mean, I'm just sort of curious whether or not what I see as my need to be able to at some point in a relationship be open is perhaps my adolescent acting up.
Well, it can be, but it also can be a fear of being trapped in a commitment.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people, you know, the majority of people have fear of commitment because they don't really know what it means, right?
Yeah.
And so let us just make a little aside here about commitment.
Yeah.
Commitment is really made between you and another person in the sense that you are committing to, at the very best of your capacity and ability, to respect them, to love them, and to avoid hurting them.
Right.
To not lie or deceive them. To be as honest and truthful and as loving and as you can be. And even if you should decide that this person that you are committed to is not the right person for you, you fall wildly in love with someone else, the commitment requires that you go there and patiently and lovingly with that partner go through the whole process. Don't run away, in other words.
Right.
Don't lie about it. Don't sneak around.
Right.
But really just go through it all the way and get the impact from that other and give them the impact that they need to be heard, to be listened to. Right? So the commitment is more for the honoring and caring for the other person's emotional body than it really is for any kind of formality any kind of form of what that it should look a certain way, right?
Right, right.
It's really about being tender with their feelings.
Absolutely.
Because you care about them. You don't want to hurt on them. You don't want to stomp on them.
Right.
And when you do that with someone that you can get really, really close to, if you can get into that level of intimacy that is so deep that you can find yourselves just merging, in a sense, becoming one, and just letting go of complete control for the other, you might think, my gosh, I mean, who needs an open relationship? You know,
right.
This is so fulfilling, you see?
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly expect that to happen for a significant period of time to feel that way.
Well, yeah, you really do have to develop intimacy, and most people are, intimacy is a very scary place. Every time you go into intimacy, there's fears that come up. Oh my gosh, what would happen if, or what could they do to me if they know my secrets? And oh my gosh, I might get hurt again. And that's what we talked about earlier when it's really imperative to kind of clean up and forgive all the past hurts and past relationship traumas.
Right.
So if you've cleaned up all your past relationships to where there's nothing from those relationships that you could project onto any new person, then you are open to being able to radiate your love and to allow you and that new person to communicate honestly and deeply, intimately, and get closer and closer to each other as a soul.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want. That's the divine making manifest on the earth. That's the divine love. That's the great love.
Right.
And so a lot of people also, you know, in the gay community too, is because the gay community has been always rebelling against the cultural norm, or not always, but in the more recent years. And the cultural norm is getting married, right? And getting married, and you can see all the stodginess in getting married, then you can see all the divorce and so on. Who wants all of that, you know? That's all legal entanglements. Nobody wants legal entanglements. Those are not fun at all. And so some of having an open relationship is because, number one, it hasn't been possible to be married anyway. And number two is that this avoids legal entanglements, which can really taint a relationship. It really can. It can sour it. It can really undermine it. all money issues can really mess things up.
So you're basically not recommending marriage?
Well, we would say marriage is great if both people are really willing for it and it really fits their temperaments. Uh-huh. And marriage doesn't fit everybody's temperament.
Right.
Marriage maybe fits 25%, 30% of the population's temperament, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, what you're seeing in the gay community here with the open relationships, but couples who stay together, but technically it's open, is probably a pattern that could really be kindly adjusted over into the straight community, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives both partners the freedom to go, freedom to be.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the ways of saying that.
Well, I think what I'm getting is that you're saying, or at least what I see, is that I definitely feel that there is an emotional monogamy that has to be there. That
yes.
The level of commitment really can't be to more than one or possibly two people at most, but that the sexual or physical diversity in terms of being intimate
mm-hmm.
is still possible.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the emotional intimacy is where you really get the downloads with love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sex is wonderful, but you don't get the fullness of love from sex. You get the orgasms, you get the whoosh, you know, you get the juice.
Well, I'm finding you get a lot of things from sex that I hadn't thought you would get. And a lot of it being very ecstatic and has many of the qualities of that you've been talking about in terms of love.
Yes,
the,
absolutely.
The caring, the being seen, the being vulnerable, the being tender and sweet, and without the marriage.
Right. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
I think that was very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're certainly welcome. And so now, thank you, Daniel, for letting us know it is time to go to our meditation. And we noticed that the channel didn't bring the clock, all right?
Yes.
So would you give us a bit of a tap when it's getting about like 5 minutes?
Okay.
Before we need to wrap up?
Yeah, you
all
have,
right.
You have 40 minutes now, is that?
That's going to be plenty, thank you.
Okay.
All right, so thank you, those of you who asked questions, and thank you those who sent in questions.